The views and opinions expressed by the following program are those of the host, guest, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station or the Webster Rock Hill Ministries, its management, or other host or underwriting sponsors. Programs presented on KWRHLP are for educational and entertainment purposes only. Views which are presented are for educational purposes only and are not intended to treat, diagnose, or claim any cure of disease or condition.
This is Amanda LaPlante. You're listening to Get Real to Heal on 92.9 FM, KWRHLP. I'm here this morning with a person who truly inspires me, Chelsea Dickinson. Chelsea Dickinson is an in-home personal trainer and a life coach. And Chelsea, do you want to tell them a little bit about your businesses?
Yeah, absolutely. So I do in-home personal training for people to make it simpler, to make them feel comfortable, to just bring the fitness to them. That way they have an accountability buddy and they feel safe in their own home. I added the life coaching piece just recently, but I've been practicing it for a very long time. I've been growing up with it, and I've just realized through personal training that it's very important to work out, but dealing with the emotional aspect is very deep, much deeper, and it affects everything. And I just really wanted to deal with the main issue, which is the emotions more than just the body.
And I think that that is so key. In my daily life, I am a health coach. I'm an integrative nutrition trained health coach, and I take a holistic approach with clients. And many times people come to me for advice on food. But we very quickly realize that the issues that they're having around eating really aren't about the food at all. They're about the emotion underneath.
Oh, absolutely.
So you had a great video I want to touch on first. Chelsea does these amazing videos on Facebook.
Oh, thank you.
They really are. They're so great. You're so authentic and so real. And in my process of getting real to heal, I'm aspiring to be more authentic and down to earth and in my body and just really who I am. And you just come across as one of the most genuine people that I have ever seen. So you did a video though on the emotions behind eating. And I think it was inspired by the psychology of eating, right?
Similarly to that book, I've read a couple things, watched some of his videos. I'm forgetting his name right now.
Yeah, I was, go figure.
I don't remember his name, but Psychology of Eating.
I'll look it up. Yep.
So anyways, yeah, and thank you for all your kind words. Eating is such an emotional thing. It's such an emotional thing. And I think that we as humans have all these stored things that we deal with, and we have so much stress. All of us have so much stress, and we have to eat. And typically speaking, because we're stressed and because we're hungry, we eat the wrong things just to soothe ourselves, because it's innate. You know, when we were babies and we would cry, our mothers fed us. And so now when we are sad or we don't feel good, we eat. And we typically eat the processed stuff because it tastes good and it gives us an immediate reaction.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's that immediate rush of either energy or comfort or, you know, and I'm going to tangent a little bit, but what I think is really interesting is, did you know that dairy and gluten have an opioid-like structure molecularly?
I did not.
Yeah. So if you think about it in nature, you know, mammals especially, they're breastfed milk, right?
Mm-hmm.
The way to survive in nature is to, of course, keep the young close to the mother. So there's a natural built-in addictive component in milk.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
So there's that whole aspect of the chemical part of the psychology behind eating as well. But
oh yeah, no, yeah. I completely agree.
Yeah. So
Mark David, that's his
Mark
name.
Mark David, there. I was going to say, I'm trying to find it. Yeah, absolutely. That's great. And it's a great book. So yeah, talking about that, I think is really important. A lot of times, you know, I think there's a little bit of a codependency issue. And I think you kind of touched on that as well.
Yes, I completely agree. And for a lot of people who haven't heard codependency or aren't very familiar, codependency typically means relying on an outside source for fulfillment, joy, happiness, love, reassurance, whatever that may be. And with the stress and the emotions that are stored, whether it be sadness, anger, fear, we have a codependency with food and with people and with the scale and with our bank accounts. So many of us say, well, you know, if I lose 20 pounds or if I make $1 million next year, then I'll be happy. Well, to me, that's the epitome of codependency because you're relying on this outside thing for an emotion to appear as if you can't create that in yourself. I think someone that truly loves doesn't have to be loved back. You can be in love with someone and you don't require love back because it's a feeling that you create in yourself, not from someone else and not from food.
I think everything comes from within, and it's so interesting how our thought patterns can be created. Going way back, I want to actually segue a little bit by saying maybe a lot of people that are listening may be wondering, okay, you know, life coaching, I'm listening to this for nutrition and health. Like, how is this going to help me? So I want to touch on the fact that our emotions are a chemical reaction. They're part of our physiology.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
And they're hardwired many times from childhood. And a lot of times I also deal in my practice with a lot of autoimmune patients or people who have early autoimmune symptoms.
Right.
I myself was an autoimmune patient, still am. I guess technically it's a little controversial to say it that way. But I have multiple autoimmune diseases that are chronic that I deal with through nutrition and integrative medicine approaches. And one of the triggers for autoimmunity is actually adverse childhood events.
Mm-hmm.
So adverse childhood events or experiences are stressful or traumatic events. They can include abuse, neglect, household dysfunction, witnessing domestic violence, you know, there's really a whole range of physical abuse, emotional abuse, et cetera, that can trigger this. You know, even divorce, parental separation, things like that can be adverse childhood events.
Oh, absolutely.
So, you know, I've had some of these in my life and have now that I've gotten into this integrative approach to healing my autoimmune diseases, mm-hmm. have realized that mastering my mind is really the only way to master my body.
Oh, yeah.
That connection is just so big. And I know that you talk in some of your videos about some of the adverse childhood events that you had.
Yeah.
That have affected you.
Absolutely. So growing up, my mom was an alcoholic. So I took care of her from the age of 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Called the cops many times when she'd pass out, things like that, making sure that she would go to bed, waking her up in the morning. So that wasn't easy for me, you know. And growing up, I relied on her so much. And so when she left, my whole world like crumbled and I felt lost and I always wanted to attach to something to make me feel better. So one of those things obviously was food. And that's one of the other reasons why I was so drawn to fitness. Because if we overeat or if we undereat, because a lot of us want to have control. If we had adverse situations when we were young, we felt out of control. So we will find a sense of comfort, really, in controlling our food. And so that's with eating disorders, things like that. Micromanaging what we're eating, eating too small, eating too much. I think it's just all tied in to those childhood events that are stored and haven't been cleared out. And I really think being an adult and wanting health and a healthy diet and nutrition, like what you talk about, I feel like you have to deal with those emotions in order to have a sustainable, healthy relationship with food.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting. There's a new field of science that's been emerging over the last few years called epigenetics. And, you know, so it's not just the food, but there we can actually turn our genes on and off is basically what this field of science is telling us.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I highly recommend a Google search. So, epigenetics, and it controls genes. So circumstances in life can cause your genes to be silenced or expressed over time. So in other words, they can be turned off and become dormant, or be turned on and become active. And what you eat, where you live, who you interact with, when you sleep, how you exercise, and even aging, all of these can cause chemical modifications around the genes and turn them on and off over time. So mastering our emotions is, of course, a component of that. It's amazing how we can really affect our physiology by getting our mind and our emotions into a better state. So tell me, what are some of the tools that you use for getting back into a better state of mind if you're having a day where you're a little off and frazzled?
Yeah. I mean, and believe me, I have those days for sure, at least once a week. There's so much, right?
Me too.
So, right, like whether it be my puppy peed all over the place or my boyfriend didn't do the dishes, you know, I mean, there's a slew of things. And I rely on EFT, which is emotional freedom technique. It's simply acupuncture or acupressure with your fingers. It's at your fingertips. I use the Byron Katie method called The Work, which is turning around our beliefs so that we reclaim our power and our emotions, because that's the number one thing that I preach is that, you know, if we feel out of control with our emotions, we feel like we can't do anything and we feel victim to our nutrition, to our bodies, to everything happening. And when we can reclaim that, I think that it just empowers us. So Byron Katie, EFT, and then I also use the healing codes, which is, I don't know why names are just not clicking for my brain today, but I'll think of it. But the healing codes is an amazing, Alex Lloyd created them. And it's an amazing practice to do every day, just to get yourself right. Also meditation, just sitting quietly, getting real. That's kind of my emotional toolbox at the moment. I'm sure it'll grow.
Absolutely. Mine also includes most of those tools. So, and then also self-care and self-love, which we're going to talk a little bit more about in the next segment. Chelsea's going to be back with us here in just a few minutes. This has been Amanda LaPlante. You're listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRH LP 92.9 FM. We'll be right back after these messages. This is Amanda LaPlante of Get Real to Heal. You are listening to KWRH LP 92.9 FM, your community radio station in Webster Groves, Missouri. This is Amanda LaPlante. Listen to my show, Get Real to Heal, every Monday morning at 9:30 and every Friday morning at 9:30 here on KWRH LP 92.9 FM. We're back on Get Real to Heal with Chelsea Dickinson, owner of Fulfilling Fitness and Confidence Coaching with Chelsea. Chelsea, we were talking during the break, and you had some good insights. I know one of the things that I deal with regularly with my clients is talking about, you know, normally they come to me, they want to lose weight or, you know, they want to feel better, but their motivation has to be explored before we can really get into the work and succeed at it. And coming at it from a place of self-love versus a place of fear and hate, mm-hmm. and body image issues and things like that can be so negative. So the motivation behind the changes is so important. Talk to me a little bit about your take on that.
Yeah, it's so huge. And I've experienced it myself. I've, you know, morphed my body from hate and I've morphed it from love. And it's such a different journey. And the hating path is, I feel like it's so typical. I know we're coming out of the new year, but we're right at that first quarter. And everyone's on these kicks for diets and eating healthy. They're consulting a nutritionist and all these things. And a lot of times it's because when they look at the mirror, they go, ugh, oh my gosh, this is disgusting. Summer's coming. I feel disgusting. I don't like how I look. And they force themselves then to do a water diet or they do a raw diet or they, you know, all these diets under the sun. And I'm not bashing any of them. because the problem with the diets isn't the diet itself, because most of them are coming from a great place. It's the motivation behind the person who is implementing the diet. So if someone hates how they look and they start doing a diet, they're going to hate the diet and it's not going to last. This is what I ran into with my clients with personal training. Couldn't get through to people who hated themselves, and that's why they were dieting. So I got sick of it and I wanted to deal with the emotions, because if you can tackle the emotions of why they're hating themselves, then you can move into self-love so that they're eating healthy from that place. But I will say that it's a lot harder to introduce healthy eating to someone who has done it from a place of hatred, because they then assign eating healthy to something that didn't feel pleasurable to them and it wasn't a good thing for them because they hated themselves through it. Does that make sense?
Oh, girl, does that make sense? Yes, I have lived that. Mm-hmm. I remember, this is not something I've talked about in years, but back when I was in college, I desperately wanted, I was a dancer, ballet dancer. and I also performed in dance teams, and I wanted to try out for the Rams cheerleading in the worst way.
Yeah.
But, you know, I remember doing the dieting, and I remember being so frustrated and just looking at myself in the mirror and thinking, why don't I have the abs? Why don't I have this? Why don't I have that? And it all came from a place of judgment, and I started to really resent my body, and I had a terrible body image. And looking back, I'm like, you know, now at age, you know, almost getting close to 40, I'm like, oh, to have that body again, you know?
Right.
Oh, to have that body again. But, you know, that's just the place that I was in my life. But now I look at it and I think, gosh, if I would have, you know, flash forward to age 34, when I was, you know, found myself laying in bed routinely, so sick that I couldn't get up, and on over a dozen medications a day, and had all these autoimmune diseases, and really my body and my life were just falling apart. And I remember laying there, and at some point it was like, I love myself. I love my life. I want this to change. I want to take my body back. And when I started approaching it from a place of self-love, my green juice cleanse, my change to gluten-free eating, all the things that I had to do, when I was coming at those from a positive place of self-love and that emotion, they were so much easier to do. And now, you know, I'll go to things and people are like, oh, why don't you want to eat that? Why don't you want to do it? I'm like, because I love myself too much. I don't want to put myself through that pain.
That's an amazing response. I love that. And it's such a different way of viewing it and coming at something, and it's long lasting, right? Yeah. And it's so big, and it's, oh my gosh, I have so much like that I think about that whole topic. And I think a big thing with nutrition is that we have this inner rebel that says, I don't want to deprive myself. I'm going to still have gluten. I'm going to have dairy. I'm going to have this. I'm going to have that. Even though maybe we know we have a reaction to it and we don't feel good. And I think what we have to assess is, why am I wanting to eat something that makes me feel bad? Why is that initial fulfillment I get out of eating a cheeseburger more important than my happiness and how I feel?
And that's, you know, a good time to talk about putting more pleasure in your life. If you're getting pleasure from food, that means you have a pleasure deficit somewhere else in your life.
Oh, so absolutely.
How can we put more pleasure into our lives? One of the things I use with my clients is a concept called a joy menu. I just have them write down. I'm like, I want you to write down 20, 25 things that just bring you joy. Like for me, one of the things is I have this dog. This dog has got the grumpiest little face you've ever seen in your life. He'll just walk up to me and look at me with his little bowed legs and like puts his little lip out, and I just giggle. I giggle like a little kid. He brings me joy. I mean, just unabashed joy when I look at this little animal. And there are other things in my life that do that too, like dancing and, you know, spending time with my child, like reading, things like that. So yeah, putting more joy and pleasure into our lives.
Oh my gosh, it's so important. And I think that, you know, some people, we need to do that before we can add in the nutrition aspect, and that's okay. But at that point, you're going to warm yourself up to wanting to eat healthy and wanting to do things. And also, if you're making a joy menu and all of it is food, that's a codependency with food. And it's kind of like, why am I getting all my happiness from here when I love my family? Why are the holidays more about the food than they are about my family?
Amen. big amen, hands up from me on that one. Absolutely.
And and I'm not saying that we can't enjoy food. I love food and I love cooking.
Absolutely.
Right? But our relationship with ourselves should be as fulfilling, if not more fulfilling, than a double Big Mac or whatever.
You know, and when I cook, I put more love into my food now. And it's really, yeah, I still love to eat. I love to cook. We love food at our house. But when I put it on the table, it's the best part of the meal is the people that are gathering around it. And the focus is there, not on the food.
Absolutely.
You know, I want to, you know, unfortunately, we've run a little bit short on time to get into some of the other things that we want to talk about. I'd love to have you back again.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
I think that would be fantastic. I really encourage everyone to look you up online, and I'll get to some contact info for you in a minute. I do want to mention that you work with teens and millennial women as your primary target.
Yes. Yes, I do.
Yeah. And I think that that's so important because I love, you know, I work with men and women, but I love working with women, though, because I find that if you change a woman and her habits, you change the whole family, you change the whole home. And how great would it be if we could get to them a little bit earlier, because we can start changing the emotions and those physiologies, you know, through our thoughts and behaviors before we get into adulthood and get to the point like I was,
right,
where that constant state of emotional stress or whatever it is has led to autoimmunity or other issues and other imbalances in our life.
Right, right. You want to nip it in the bud.
Early on, absolutely. And get a handle on the emotions while they're setting their life into motion.
Oh my gosh, yes. And before they make life decisions, you know, that if they're not in balance and they're making these decisions and oh my gosh, there's just so much.
Yeah. Well, and I think about, I have a son who's 11 and he's starting to get to the point where it's like, yeah, okay, mom and dad, I'd rather go play online or watch TV, and the media modeling of what life is really supposed to be like. Now, of course, boy, but it's, you know, that part of it I think is the same, just from different aspects, right? You know, boy versus girl, but they're still seeing messages that aren't accurate and true to real life.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And with women, with millennials and with teens, it's so hard, I think. And I've experienced this, so I feel like I can say I'm an expert. It's hard to separate yourself from those Instagram models or the Facebook or whatever, you know what I mean? And looking at these women, and especially with body image issues, looking at yourself in the mirror and asking yourself why you don't look like her, or why does my boyfriend not do this? And there's all these couple goals and all this stuff that we have in our heads. And I especially teens who really have not a lot of concept of the world other than the social media world to really fulfill their own need instead of having other people fulfill it.
And oh, the social media world. But we can get into that topic another time. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, it's growing, right? And we can't deny that.
Nope. For better or worse. Definitely growing. You touched on something there. We've got just a couple minutes left, but you know, you mentioned the other, you know, looking at our partner and seeing something, and a lot of times we really need to turn it back on ourselves.
Yes, which brings me to the work with Byron Katie. I don't know if you all have done it or read it, but if you haven't, please run to your nearest bookstore and buy one of her books, because she has a turnaround. It's 4 questions, and you question your beliefs and your judgments that you have on other people, which regardless of if we want to own up to it or not, we judge people instantly when we look at them, or we see something they're doing, or they're not doing the dishes or whatever. So if we're having all these judgments of other people, it's a huge, huge mirror and a reflection of the beliefs we have about ourselves and the judgments we have in ourselves, and how we're treating ourselves is the biggest thing. So if you're having troubles with your friends or your family, you're having a lot of inner turmoil, and it's just awareness.
I've really found that a lot of times in my life, when I was having an issue with someone else's behavior, or you know, I was judging them. Yeah, it really was about me. And a lot of times when people are judging me, it's really not about me. Uh-huh. You know, so it's so interesting to dig into that.
Right, and it's empowering too. Oh, Amanda, it actually isn't her; it's me. Like, I'm judging you for something, but. but I can see that it's on me, and it really has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
Because when we walk around feeling like all these millions of people are affecting us and our inner world, gosh, that's disempowering.
Well, thank you so much for being on, Chelsea Dickinson with Fulfilling Fitness and Confidence Coaching. And Chelsea, can you tell people how they can reach you?
Yes, absolutely. So if you'd like to connect with me on Facebook, I have a Facebook page, just Chelsea Dickinson. You can find me there pretty easily. There's not a lot of us. And also my phone number is 314-609-8707. I'd love to hear from you all. And I do have a very amateur email, which is chels1714@yahoo.com that you can reach out to me at.
It gets the job done.
It does. Absolutely. And changing emails is so hard.
And it's part of that authenticity that I love about you. It's all good. Thank you. So this is a real person who can really help. But this has been Amanda LaPlante. You've been listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRHLP 92.9 FM. For more information or to contact me, find me online at getrealtoheal.net or on Facebook at Get Real to Heal.